Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Yevamos Daf Kuf Hey. We left off on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. We are this at the second to last line of the page. Umi Amar Rabbi Akiva Rikika. So today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored by the Lightman family. It's Chusar for Shlema for Esther Basara. She should be Zochatur for Shlema. Bisoch Shar Chole Yisrael. So today what we're going to talk about is the Rikika, the role of Rikika when it comes to Chalitza. What if a person, what if a woman does Rikika and nothing else? Does that accomplish anything at all? Does it even passel her from doing a future Yibum with any of the brothers? What if she does the Rikika Kodem Chalitza? She does it out of order. She does the Rikika prior to doing the Chalitza. What if when she does the Rikika, there's dam that comes out instead of saliva that comes out? Do we assume that that also is a valid Rikika, or does it have to be purely saliva? And in that context, the Gemara is going to discuss the base Eli. It's going to be an aside that the Gemara is going to talk about how there was a curse on the base Eli and how it is that they can overcome that curse of dying when they're young, and how two of the Gedolei Amoraim actually descended from the Beis Eli, and how each one managed to partially overcome the curse that that befalls the Beis Eli. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about Chalitza done by a Katana, and Chalitza that's done Beino Leveina, a Chalitza that's done with no Beis Din present. In the middle, we're going to have an aside about a certain Talmud of a Rebbe that was punished for being Mevazer, Rabbi Yehuda Rav Yossi, who was Tzarech Lo B'Halacha. So we're going to tell a little bit about that story as well. So let's begin. Again, we are holding on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, second to last line of the page. Umi Amar Rabbi Akiva. So says Gemara, Umi Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rikika Lo Pasla. Does Rabbi Akiva really hold that Rikika does not pasel her from doing a future Yibum? That Rikika accomplishes nothing? It's as if all she did was Rikika. She did nothing, and therefore she can still do Yibum with any of the other brothers. Va'atanya, but don't we have a Braisa which discusses what if she does one of the ingredients of the Chalitza and none of the others? And again, there are three ingredients. There's the Chalitza, there's the Kriyas HaParsha, and then there is the Rikika. So what if she does any one and not the others? So the Braisa tells us it depends. Chalitza, if she did only the Chalitza, but v'lo rakka v'lo kara, she didn't do the spitting and she didn't do the Kriya of the Parsha, so Chalitza Sekshera, that's actually a valid Chalitza. She's actually Muteres L'shuk, it's a Kashura Chalitza. It's not ideal. Ideally, she should do everything, but it's a valid Chalitza. What if Rakika, she did only the spitting, which is really our topic that we're trying to prove from, Velo Chalitza Velo Kara, and she didn't do Chalitza, and she didn't do a Kriya, well then Chalitza Sapsula. It is a Chalitza, but it's a Pasula Chalitza. And Rashi points out, Chalitza Sapsula, Uposalta Ala Achin Kinem Mefarish Va'azil. That the key is, as we're about to prove, Chalitza Sapsula means that while it does not, it's not Matir or Lashuk, it will passel her from doing Yibum with any of the other brothers. So it's something. It's not what it needs to be. It's not a valid Chalitza, but it's something. Whereas Kara, if she only did the Kriya of the Parsha, Velo Rakika, Velo Chalitza, she didn't do a Rakika, nor did she do a Chalitza, well then ain't Kan Beis Mechush. Then it's a zero. Then it's as if she just learned some Chumash. She just read some Sukkim. That's not going to accomplish anything. And therefore, she could still do Yibum with any one of the brothers. She still—it's as if she had done nothing. So says Mar Mani, who is the author of this Braisa? And again, the key line in the Braisa is the line that said that if she did only Rikika, that it's going to be Chalitza Sapsula, which we assume, or the Gemara is going to show, means that while it doesn't matir her Lashuk, it does disqualify her from having Yibum with any other brothers. So who's the author of this Braisa? Ilem Rabbi Eliezer, if you want to tell me it's Rabbi Eliezer, Chalitza v'lo rakik v'lo kara chalitza sekshera. Well, the first line of the Braisa said that if she only did the removal of the shoe, and she didn't do the other two parts, she didn't do the spitting, and she didn't do the kriya of the parshios, that the chalitza is going to be kasher. But v'ha'amar Rabbi Eliezer, kacha yeyasa. Rabbi Eliezer is the one that taught us that that we just had a drasha where Rabbi Eliezer told us, kacha yeyasa, kol davar shu maisa ma'akev. That only that which is a maisa is ma'akev. and everything that's a maisa is ma'akev. So how can it be that it's going to tell me that if she does a chalitza, but not a rekika, that it's not going to be a problem? That it's going to be a kosher chalitza if she does chalitza without a rekika. Rekika is a maisa. So anything that's a maisa should be ma'akev according to Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, we know that the author of this brisa must not be Rabbi Eliezer, because according to this brisa, rekika is not ma'akev, and Rabbi Eliezer holds rekika absolutely is ma'akev because it is a maisa. Tosos points out, this Tosos really belongs earlier when we initially had this sugya, which is back on the Mishnah on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. But Tosos points out, v'im tomer tap Tosos l'man yamer dakimus piva v'maisa echem atin and kriya, meaning if whatever drasha you're going to make, that anything that's a maisa is ma'akev. If it's not a maisa, it's not a ma'akev. Tosos says, if you hold that kimas piv is a maisa, if you hold that moving your lips is considered a maisa, then every single element is a maisa. Chalitza is a maisa, rekika is a maisa, and kriyas aparshias is a maisa also, because that kimas piv is a maisa. So Tosos says that V'yesh lomar, two answers. V'yesh lomar, demikol mako maisa gru hu yosem rekika. In comparison to rekika, it's not a maisa, meaning it could be akimas piv is some sort of maisa, so the gabe certain halachos, it will have the status of a maisa, but it's certainly much less of a maisa than an actual maisa, than an actual rekika. Inami lo dami lemanig b'kol shu maisa gadol. Orto says, no, when do we say akimas piv is a maisa? That's when through your voice command something happens, something in the world actually changes and happens. So you're being you're leading an animal. So you say, here, move, and the animal moves. So something happens because of your akimas fasayim. So you have Siri play the song, and then it plays the song. So something actually happens because of your voice command. But when you just say words and nothing happens as a result of those words, then nobody would say that akimas piv is a maisa. So it's a chash of Tosos. So it's two days in Tosos, whether akimas piv being a maisa is no matter what or only when it leads to some physical thing in the world. But anyway, back to our Gemara, El Pshit Rabbi Akiva. So it must be that the author of this brisa is Rabbi Akiva. Vikatani, and yet it says, Rakika v'lo choltza v'lo kara, chalitza sapsula. The brisa still says if she does only the rakika, but not the chalitza or the kriya, the chalitza is going to be possible. Well, what does it mean the chalitza is going to be possible? Does it mean that it's an absolute zero? Leman, to who is this chalitza possible? Ile mili alma, if you want to tell me the chalitza's puzzle as far as that she's not going to be allowed to be mutaris l'shuk. Well, pshita, mi ab chalitza d'shtari l'alma, obviously it's going to be puzzle that she's not going to be mutar l'shuk. She didn't do a chalitza, all she did was she spat. So that's obviously not going to be something that's going to be mutar her l'shuk. Elalav li'achin. When we say chalitza's psula, it must mean that it is a chalitza insofar as she's now puzzle from having yibum with the brothers. So it has that impact of a chalitza, even though it is in fact not a kosher chalitza, so she's still going to be asura to the rest of the world. So shema mina. So don't you see from here that Rabbi Akiva holds that rekika does passel her to the brothers because it says that it's a chalitza psula. So says Mara Rabbi Akiva, maishna rekika, maishna kriya. Well, okay, let's say Rabbi Akiva is the author of this brisa. Why does Rabbi Akiva distinguish between rekika on the one hand and kriya on the other hand? Right? If she did only rekika, so then it's a chalitza psula in that she becomes passel to the brothers. If she did only kriya, we ignore it. We pretend as if nothing ever happened. She could still do yibum with the brothers. Why should there be a difference between them? So it says, kriya di isa bein betchila bein besof. Since there are speaking parts, there's a kriya saparsha that happens both at the beginning and at the end, both prior to the chalitza, me'ein yivami, she says, and after the chalitza, when she says, kocha yeyosa, that this is what's done to such a person, lo michlefale. So no one is going to be confused and think that that you can get away without doing a chalitza at all. But rekika, the betchila lasa lebesof isa michlefale. But a rekika, which happens at the beginning and not at the end, people will get confused also in Mishnah Chalutza La'achin, and they'll come to be Matir Chalutza to the brothers. So how do we explain that? If you look at Rashi, Kriya Bein Kodem Chalitza Me'in Yivami Bein La'achin Chalitza Kocha Yasa, a Kriya which happens both before and after the Chalitza, Inami Amrinan Tisyavim Lomas Chalful Inshi B'Chalutza. Even if we were to tell this woman that she could go and do Yibum, no one's going to confuse that with Chalutza and allow a Chalutza to go do Yibum. Delay say the Meimar Hach Basar Chalitza is Yavim, where people are going to come to say that after she already did Chalitza, she's doing a Yibum. Damri Hachriya the mekami chalitza avai. Even though they will have seen that she did a kriya, they'll say, nah, she probably, the reason we're letting her do a yibum is probably because she never did a chalitza. Probably the kriya that we saw was the kriya prior to the chalitza. Aval rakika, but when it comes to the rakika, delesa ela basa chalitza, where the only time that you would normally do rakika is after doing a chalitza. Well, that mischalfa le'inshi, that people might get confused, and they're going to see a woman does a rakika, and then she goes and does yibum after that. So v'yomru hachtu midarakika vadecholtzu labereisha, everyone's going to say, oh, she did a rakika, she must have already done a chalitza, because rakika always comes after a chalitza, and we're letting her do yibum. Va'afilu hachi hadru misyavemes, she's still going and doing yibum after having done a chalitza. So vasu mishu chalitza la'achin, that would be tragic, because then people are going to get the impression that even after doing a chalitza, you could just go and do yibum, that the chalitza doesn't end the relationship. So that's why Rabbi Akiva distinguishes between doing only a rakika, where it will confuse people and people will assume that there was a chalitza as well, versus doing only a kriya, where nobody's going to assume that there was a chalitza as well. If you do only a kriya, people will say that you were reading the beginning psukim, but that you never did any sort of chalitza. Good, so that's the first version of the sugya. The Ika da Amri, others say hachi shalchulei, that this was the message that they sent, nothing to do with doing only rakika, but rather yevama sharakika tachlos ve'ena tzricha lorak pamacheres, that if they did it out of order, if the yevama did a rakika before doing the chalitza, she could still do the chalitza now, and she's not going to need to do another rakika. Kiahi, like the Gemara says, what's the gears on the change? Kiahi yevama da'asil kamed Rabbi Ami, like that yevama that came to Rabbi Ami, havi yosef Rabbi Abba bar Mamel kamei, and Rabbi Abba bar Mamel is sitting in front of him, rakaka mekami de tachlutz, and she did the spinning before she did the removal of the shoe. Amalei Rabbi Ami chalotz la vishari le tigra, vishari le tigra. He said, do the chalitza, and then you're patur, you can go out of Beis Din. So Amalei Rabbi Abba, vabin and meirach, what do you mean she's patur, she's got out of Beis Din? She's got a spit. Harakala. So he said, well, she already did. She did before she did the chalitza. But v'teru gamabakach, what do you mean she already did? The fact that she let her spit again. So what's the big deal? Meaning she let her do it in the right order. Meaning I know that she spat before, but that was at the wrong time. So what's the big deal if we ask her to do it again? Says nothing. Minechorba. It would lead to a misunderstanding. It would lead to something that would be inappropriate. The amr tihad v'teru. Because if we're going to insist that she spits again, amri rikika kamaisa lespa mashasha, people are going to assume that the first spitting accomplished nothing. And then they're going to come to be matir her to the brothers, even though she already did a rakika. Because if by insisting that she does a rakika a second time, that would be taken as a statement that the first rakika accomplished absolutely zero. But we know that if you do just the rakika, it does accomplish something. It at least asks her from doing yibum with the other brothers. So we don't want to give the impression that the first rakika accomplished nothing. So the Gemara va be inon kesidron, but don't things need to be done in order? Isn't the seder ma'akev over here where the rakika has to come after the chalitza? It says well, no, kesidron la ma'akva. Yes, things should be done in order, but they don't have to be done in order. It's not ma'akev if it's not done in order. So who suffered the chuyah kamadchile? He thought he was just being dochim. He was just giving him some sort of answer, but that it wasn't actually la halacha. So nafak dok v'ashkach. Then he went out and he investigated the matter further, and he discovered a Raisa Ditanya Bain Shikhtim Khalitza the Rakika, Bain Shikhtim Rakika the Khalitza, Masha Asa Asui. Whether the Rakika comes first, whether the Khalitza comes first, Masha Asa Asui, whatever happened, and it's going to be a valid Khalitza, even if the Khalitza preceded a Rakika, even if the Khalitza was preceded by a Rakika. So Levi Nafik Lakirisa, Levi went out to a city, Bo Mine Gidemis Maushitaklitz, and asked him the following shayla. What if a woman is a gidemes? Can she do chalitza? If the woman is a disabled person, and so can she do chalitza with her teeth? She doesn't have use of her arms. Her arms are cut off. So is she able to do chalitza just by removing the shoe with her teeth or something like that? Yivama sharakaka dam mahu. And the second shayla, what if the yivama spits and what comes out of her mouth instead of saliva is dam? Is that a valid chalitza? So, and a third question, that the pasuk in Daniel says that I'm going to tell you that which is Roshim b'ksav emes, that it comes from Shemayim. So mechal dika ksav she'eno emes, sounds like that there's a ksav she'eno emes in Shemayim by saying I'm going to tell you what it says in the ksav emes in Shemayim. I guess they were learning chalitza and also some agadata, so they were learning the Tanakh seder, they were learning Daniel. So they had they collected these questions for an Tam Chacham came to town. So they asked him these questions. So love Abiyadeh, he didn't know the answers to any of the questions. So as Shal Bei Midrash, they went and they asked the Talmid Chacham in the Beis Medrash, Armalei, and they said, well, first of all, as far as doing a chalitza when you don't have use of your arms, Miksiv V'choltza B'yad, does it say V'choltza B'yad? It doesn't say anything about V'choltza Dafka by with your hands. Umiksiv V'yorka Rok, and does it say V'yorka Rok? No, it doesn't. It just says that you spit. It doesn't say that it has to be saliva that comes out of the mouth. And Aval Agadlucha Roshim B'Ksav Emes V'Chiyesh K'Sav She'eno Emes. And as far as the third question from the pasuk in Daniel, that you're telling me that I'm going to tell you that which it says in K'Sav Emes, which implies that there's K'Sav She'eno Emes in Shemayim Lo Kasha. That there's a difference between a gzardin and shemayim that comes together with a shavua and one that does not come together with a shavua. Kidra Shmuel Barami, as Rav Shmuel Barami himself distinguished. Damra Shmuel Barami, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, minayin the gzardin sheyesh imo shavua she'enu miskareya. How do I know that if a gzardin has a shavua attached to it, that such a gzardin will never be torn up, that it's a permanent gzardin? Shenamar lechein nishbati the base eli nishpati the base eli im yischaper avon base eli bezevach ubimincha ad olam, that the sins of the base eli are never going to achieve an atonement. There's never going to be a kapara. So there's a shavua that no matter how many karbanos, how many zvachim, and how many menachos you bring, the base eli sin is never going to have an atonement. So the Gemara Masech Rosh Hashanah is mechalik between a gzar din of a yachid that even without a shavua it's not going to be torn up with versus a gzardin of a tzibur, where it depends whether it has a shvur or not. That's the distinction we're making in our Gemara, whether it has a shvur or not. That if it has a shvur, it will never be torn up. That's only because the base eli was a rabib. That only with a shvur is it not going to be torn up. So according to that, why doesn't the Gemara just answer the stira kan b'gzardin tiyachid, which is nikra, and that's the ksav she'enu emes, and kan b'gzardin shel tzibur, which is the ksav. Meaning, once we know that there's another distinction between two types of gzardins, right? There's not only a distinction between gzardin that has a shmur and gzardin that doesn't have a shmur, which is our Gemara's answer, right? Our Gemara said, wait a second, is there a ksav emes and a ksav she'enu emes? So the Gemara says, oh, there are two types of gzardin. There's a gzardin with a shmur and a gzardin without a shmur. But if you look in the sugya in Rosh Hashanah, there's another distinction to be made, where there's a gzardin shal yachid, which is never torn up, and a gzardin shal rabim, which can be torn up if there's no shmur associated with it. So why don't we just distinguish between Shal Yachid v'Shal Rabim? So that's a kasha that the Aruch Liner asks. And the Aruch Liner suggests that in the Pesukim that it says, together with the Pasuk of Al-Agad L'Chasakasu B'Ksav Emes, it's the Nevuah of Daniel was about Shibun Malchiel. So it was all about Gzardin Shal Tzibur. So the distinction Daniel must have been making was within Gzardin Shal Tzibur. And therefore, the only further distinction to make is whether it was with a Shavua or without a Shavua. Anyway, so the base Eli had this curse that they were all going to die young, and there was no kapara, no matter how many zvachim, no matter how many menachos, they could bring all the karbanos they want, it's not going to help. So I'm a rabba, bezevach mincha in a meschaper, but within that, there's a little bit of a comfort, because while HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared that they're not going to have a kapara through zvachim and menachos, but the indication is something greater than zvachim and menachos, it will give them a kapara, of a meschaper who b'divrei Torah. They will be able to have a kapara through divrei Torah. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva that someone who has the Avera of Chilul Hashem, he's not going to have a kapara for his Avera of Chilul Hashem with Yisurim, but there's still the refuah of his Mekadei Shem Hashem constantly. And another kapara is by learning Torah constantly. Because whenever we say you can't have kapara, it means you can't have kapara in a conventional way. But through Talmud Torah, you'll always be able to have kapara. And the Rabbeinu Yonah's Raya is this Gemara, that even when it's an explicit explicit pasuk that there will be no kapara, through Talmud Torah you'll be able to achieve a certain level of kapara. Talmud Torah is a soft spot for the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's able to look past a lot of things that we do if a person works hard in Talmud Torah to try to overcome. So anyway, so he's meschaper b'divrei Torah. So Abayi Amar b'zevach u'b'mincha inu meschaper avu meschaper b'gmilas chasadim. Abayi says, no, zvachim and menachos aren't going to give you your kapara, but you know what will give you kapara? Gmilas chasadim. If you do acts of kindness, that's going to be kapara. So Rabba v'Abaye mid the base Eli ka'asu. Both Rabba and Abaye descended from the base Eli. Rabba da'asak b'Torah, Rabba who engaged full time in Talmud Torah, chaya arba'in shnin. He lived to the age of 40, which was more than the base Eli normally lived to. They normally were Yamusu Anashim. They died at the age of 18. So he made it to the age of 40 in the zchus of his Talmud Torah. Abaye da'asak b'Torah u'b'gmilas chasadim, but Abaye, he was not only engaged in Talmud Torah, was also engaged in gmilas chasadim, so chaya shisin shnin. He lived for 60 years. So you see that Talmud Torah and gmilas chasadim is combined to achieve the kapara. So it's very clear that our Gemara is highlighting the importance of Talmud Torah and gmilas chasadim to the extent that the asek in each will give a kapara and add years to a person's life. But you see that gmilas chasadim, even if a person learns full time, he doesn't get as many years added to his life as someone who learns and is also engaged in gemilas chasadim, which is somewhat curious, because the Rambam paskins in the third parak of Hilchos Talmud Torah that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is shkula keneged kol mitzvos kulan, and therefore a person should always prioritize Talmud Torah over trying to get involved in other mitzvahs. So if yesh lefan of shtei mitzvos, he has a mitzvah of Talmud Torah and he has some other mitzvah to do that he has an opportunity to do, he shouldn't stop his learning. He should stay, keep on learning, and don't worry about developing opportunities to do other mitzvahs, unless it's a mitzvah she'ef shalas sa'idei acherim. Meaning, if it's a mitzvah that you need to do, meaning no one else could put on tefillin for you, no one else could do, keep Shabbos for you. No, meaning, whenever there are, say Kiddush on Shabbos, obviously you can't now have to do it soon, but no one else can do other mitzvahs for you. So when there's a mitzvah that's she'ef shalas sa'idei acherim, so then certainly you have to stop your learning to do it. But when it's a question of should I get involved or should I let someone else do it, should I let someone else get involved? So then the Rambam says Talmud Torah wins. You always do Talmud Torah because Lomi Ve'ino Makayim. It's Mutav Lo Ilu Nefcha Shel Yosel Al Panav Lo Yotzel Avir Olam. Chazal say, and this Paskin Din Yaradeya and Sim Resh Mem Vav in Hilchos Talmud Torah. Now in our Gemara, it sounds like these two Amoraim, they each could have been learning Torah full time, and one of them decided that he was also going to get involved in Gemilas Chasadim, and he won. The one that got involved in Gemilas Chasadim, he lived longer. Why was that okay? So the Chavetz Chaim is a remarkable chiddush over here. In Avas Chesed, Chavetz Chaim has a lot of chidushim. It's not just Musar in these svarim. It's mostly halacha. That was the chidush of what the Chavetz Chaim did. He wrote Musar svarim in the form of halacha svarim. So the Chavetz Chaim has a remarkable chidush. He says Elamait Muchach. It can't be that these were mitzvos, that these were gemilas chasadim, that was yef shalas asayidei acherim. Because then there would be no excuse for both of them not to be involved. Rabba also should have been involved. So it must be that it was things that were ef shalas asayidei acherim. So says Chavetz Chaim, when you're a person of the stature of Rabba, or the stature of who was Rabbaye, then it could be that gemilas chasadim will be that even when you're faced with situations where you could do Talmud Torah gemilas chasadim, you do gemilas chasadim, because when a person the chesed is on a different level, because the impact of that chesed is not only in the chesed that you're doing, but it's in the example that's being set for other people, and it is likely going to lead many others to doing great level of chesed. So it's a fascinating thing, because you would think generally a person when they do chesed should try to be mastir, should try to do things quietly and not let the world know when they're doing chesed. But sometimes you have to let it, sometimes if it's a person of stature, if it's a public figure, they need to let it be known, because that's going to set the example. And says the Chavetz Chaim, that's going to be a higher level of chesed, to the point that it beats out Talmud Torah in terms of the level of chesed. It works. I mean, I know if someone comes collecting money, so I'll give him a check. But if he comes and he shows me a check that he got from Rav Herschel Schechter for $1,000, I know Rav Schechter will give that to anybody. Whoever comes to the door, he's going to, if someone just gave him $1,000, so then $1,000 going out the door. That's why the Rebbetzin needs to hold on to the money. But it works. It works. If I see it, then for sure I'm going to give him a bigger check. So when there's someone of stature, that does a chesed. So that's a higher level type of chesed. So Tan Rabbanu, Mishpacha Achasaisu B'Yerushalayim, Shayu Mesim Kiven Shmonas Shana. There was a Mishpacha in Yerushalayim that would die at a tragically young age when they were only 18 years old. So Bovo Dios Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, they let Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai know about this, that they have this terrible, terrible thing in the family. So Amalem Shemim Mishpachas Eliatem. He said, maybe you're from the family of Eli. Shemim V'Kol Marus Beisach Yamusu Anoshim, that they're going to die as Anoshim, and Anoshim means as young men, as 18-year-olds. So L'chuv Isku B'Torah V'Tichyu. So go learn Torah and you'll live longer. Holch V'Asku B'Torah V'Chayu, and it worked. They went, they learned Torah, and they lived longer. V'Yikor Nosam Mishpachas Yochanan Al Shemo, and they called it Mishpachas Yochanan because he's the one that gave them the advice. It's also, you see over here, this is one of many makoros in Chazal that they had a practice to name after those who were responsible for their survival. Not only name after, like we name babies after family members or tzaddikim or whatever, they would name after those who were responsible for their survival. So since Rabbi Yochanan was responsible for their survival, the whole family was called Yochanan al Shemo. Amar Shul Bar Unya Amar Rav Minayin L'Gzardin Shal Tzibur Sheinu Nechtam. How do I know Gzardin Shal Tzibur is never sealed? Einu Nechtam Maksiv Kiim T'chapsi B'Nesar V'Tir B'Loch Boros Nechtam Avonech L'Fanai. What do you mean it's never sealed? It says it leaves a permanent stain. So obviously it's sealed. It's something that all the detergents in the world is never going to wash it out. Ele Minayin Shafilu Nechtam Iskareya. Now how do I know that even after it's sealed it could still be torn up? Shenemar Mika Hashem Elokeinu B'Chol Kareinu Eilav. Because it says Mika Hashem Elokeinu that Hashem is always available to us. I Vaksiv Dir Shu Hashem Bimatzo. What do you mean Hashem is always available to us? Doesn't the pasuk say you should seek out Hashem when He's available? Sounds like He's not always available. That there are that Hashem has office hours. That there are times that you can find Hashem. And there are times that you can't. So which is it? Is it Bechol Kareinu Eilav or is it only Bimatzo? So Lokasha Habiyachid Habitzibur is the difference between davening biyachidus and davening betzibur. That you know there is a machlokas we've been discussing in Smichas Chaver recently whether the din of tefillah betzibur is a chiyuv or it's the icing on the cake and it's something that's certainly valuable. But everyone agrees that you can accomplish with tefillah betzibur certain things in your tefillah that you cannot accomplish with tefillah biyachidus. Aside from saying dvarim shebekedusha, which you cannot do with tefillah biyachidus, but over here you have it that when it comes to tefillah biyachidus, Hashem is not always available to us. When it comes to tefillah betzibur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always giving a listening ear. So says the Gemara, v'yachid emas, and when does a yachid have Hashem's ear? So Amram Nachman, Amram Barvua, Elu Asar Yamim, Shevein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. That's during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, during the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Shalchu Leil Avuah D'Shmuel, Yivamash, actually before we get to Avuah D'Shmuel, so this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is available to us in that time, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur tells us that there's more power to one's tefillah between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So that became the basis of a machlokas, a famous machlokas between the Radvaz, which is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Sadi, and the Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi in Siman Kuf Vav. The Radvaz and Chacham Tzvi were both asked about a person who is, let's say he's being held in jail, and he doesn't, it's not like nowadays, there's no minyan in jail. He wasn't able to daven betzibur while he was there. So they were going to let him out one day of the year. So the shaila is, which day should he choose to go out? Should he choose to go out dafka during Aseres Yimei Tshuva, or maybe Yom Kippur itself, where the tefillah is going to have a greater impact, his ability to daven is going to have a greater impact, or should he just choose the next day? Meaning just choose whatever comes next, because ein mavir no the mitzvah. So the Radvaz writes that he should prefer to be mishtakrer right away and do whatever he can right now, because whatever you could do sooner is better. But the Chacham Tzvi says that since Tefillas Yom HaKippurim is more chashuv, so maybe you should prefer Tefillas Yom HaKippurim. Aye, he's going to miss Tefillah B'Tzibur right now, says the Chacham Tzvi. You don't know that you're going to live that long. Says the Chacham Tzvi that you'll miss right now, but maybe hidur mitzvah, maybe doing a mitzvah in a better way, it beats out zrizin makdim in the mitzvahs, beats out the consideration of zrizin makdim in the mitzvahs. Whereas the Radvaz would argue, maybe, or maybe not, first of all, maybe zrizin makdim wins, and even if zrizin makdim doesn't win, you don't know that you're going to live that long to still be around Yom Kippur. You know that you're here today, so good, so today, do whatever mitzvah in the best way you possibly possibly can. So that's a shayla the Chayyadim discusses when it comes to the maila of Zriza Makdim LeMitzvos. Is it better than the maila of Hidur even within the same mitzvah, right? What if I could do a mitzvah right away, but I won't be able to do it as well? Or I could wait a little longer and I'll do it better. So do I wait longer and do the mitzvah better, or do I do it at the first possible opportunity? Okay, but anyway, back in our Gemara. So says the Gemara, Shalch le'avu, three lines from the bottom, Shalch le'avu d'shmol, Yivama sharakik adam tachlot. When a Yivama spit out dam, she does chalitzel, she has dam below tzitzoch rok. Now we assume that it can't be that there wasn't some saliva in the dam. So meisve yach li'e dam yotzim pivim pi'a amatame, that you might assume that dam that comes out from your mouth, meaning the rok of a zav, is tame. So you might assume that when he spits out blood, it's also tame. So tamalomer zovo tame v'in dam yotzim pivim, that dam that comes out of his mouth is not going to be tame. So it sounds like there's an assumption that there's no saliva coming out with the dam. So which is it? Do we assume that every time he spits dam, there's going to be some saliva as well? Do we assume that? So lo kasha, kan b'motzetzes, kan b'shoses. It depends how he ejects the saliva from the mouth. When he's motzetzes, when he spits it out, so he gathered some roke in his mouth as well. But when it's just shoses, when it just drips out of his mouth, then we assume that it's probably just pure dam, and there's no roke, there's no saliva. So cheresh and nechlatz. We then discussed in the Mishnah, what if a cheresh does a chalitza? So in that context, we not only mentioned cheresh, we discussed a katan as well. We discussed a katan doing chalitza as well. So says the Gemara, Amar Avidom Rab, Zu Divrei Rabbi Meir. When the Mishnah says that if a katan does chalitza, the chalitza is pasul, and the Yavam is now allowed to do yibum with the brothers, and the Mishnah doesn't say that the chalitza is zero. It says that it accomplishes something. It's at least pasul. That's Rabbi Meir. That's the sheet of Rabbi Meir, that the Chum make a chalitza of a katan like a get on a gadol, that it's at least going to passel from doing a yibum going forward. So the chamur goes there, that a katan who's 9 years old that does a chalitza on the yavama will at least accomplish that, that there's not going to be a yibum. Avil chamur in chalitza katan klum. But the chamur say no, chalitza of a katan is a zero. It accomplishes absolutely nothing. Ketana shecholza. And what about a katana that does a chalitza? So the Mishnah said that tachlutz mishatagdil. She should do another chalitza when she grows up. So Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav Zu Divrei Rabbi Meir. That which the Mishnah says that a ketana did chalitza needs another chalitza when she grows up, that's Shitas Rav Meir. Da Amar Ish Kasav Beparsha, because Rav Meir says if you look in the parsha of chalitza, he uses the term Ish. It says Vim Lo Yachbots Ha Ish Lakachas Vim Tovol Sivim Ta Shara. So we learn from there that Ish Velo Katan, and therefore Umakshinan Ish Al Ish. We also assume that whatever is true on the male side of things is true on the female side of things as well. That just like by the Yavam, he has to be an adult, he has to be an Ish. So to the Yavama needs to be an adult. Vasa Yavamta Ashara is Hukash to the Yavam himself. So she also needs to be a Gedola. Avil Chamorim Ish Ksiv Beparsha. The Cham say, yes, it says Ish in the Parsha, but Ish Ben Gedola Ben Katana. He never says, the woman could be a Gedola or a Katana. There's no Hekish that links the Ish to the Isha. So Mancha Chamor, the Cham that hold that a Katana is able to do Chalitza, and we don't compare a Katana to a Katan. Rabbi Yossi, that's the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Chiyav, Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe, Havu Yasvi. They were sitting in the Beis Medrash before Rebbe came to Darshan and give the shir. Pasachad min ayuva amar. And one of them started saying, Hamispalel tzorik sheitenein of lamata. That when a person is davening, his eyes and his kavanas halev should be lamata, which means toward Eretz Yisrael, because the Shechina is there with the Beis Hamikdash. So the Shechina is how do I know the Shechina is there? Shnemar vayu einai v'libi sham kol hayamim. That Kodesh Baruch Hu says, my heart and eyes are there in the Beis Hamikdash all the time. V'chadamer, and the other one says, no, when you're davening, you should be mechavin libo, and you should be nosin einav l'mayla, that you should be facing upwards, because the makom of the Shechina is not in the Beis Hamikdash, it's in Shemayim. Shnemar nisa l'vavenu el kapayim el kel b'shemayim is the end of the pasuk. That Kodesh Baruch Hu is b'shemayim. So kapayim means anonym, that we lift up our hearts to be mechavin l'mayla, because that's where the Shechina is. So adahachi, while they were having this conversation, situation of where to focus your attention, whether it be toward Eretz Yisrael, whether it be toward Shemayim, us Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yossi Lagabayu. Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yossi walked in. So he said to them, what are you guys talking about? You wanted to participate in the conversation. So we're talking about Inyani Tefillah. So, and each one told them what their opinion was, where the Kavanah should be focused toward. So he said, Kachom Rabba, my father Rabbi Yossi said, Hamispal Sor Chiite Nenav Lemata Velibo Lemaila Kadeshiskamu Shneim across Alalu. My father was a machria between these two. One of you was saying that your Enav Velibo should be Lemata. The other one saying Enav Velibo should be Lemaila. Well, my father said that no, you should Enav Lemata for the cover of the Shechina that's down here. Libo Lemaila, that's for the cover of the Shechina that's up in Shemaim. And that way you fulfill both of the Psukim. Sadahachi, while they were having this conversation about how to daven, Asa Rebbe the Masifta. Rebbe came to Darshan and to give his shir. So everyone had to go to their seats. So meaning the Rebbe walks into the classroom, right? So everyone scurries to their seats. So Inu Rebbe Chia, Rebbe Shimon Bar Rebbe, Dava Klili, who were light and they were in good shape. They were not Balei Basar. So Yesivu Beduchtayu. They got to their seats right away. By the time Rebbe looked at them, they were ready in their seats. Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi Agav Yukre, Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi was more of a Bal Basar. He didn't get around so easily. He slowly, you know, lumbered toward his seat in the base medrash to find a seat. Samle Avdan, Sa Avdan was the person's name, said to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Miu Zeshem Fasael, Rashi Am Kodesh. Who is this person that's walking so slowly and that's like stepping over all the other Talmidim to get to a seat? Because all the Talmidim used to sit on the karka. They would sit on the ground. So when you're walking past them, it's as if you were walking over their heads. It's also to be Pasael, Rashi Am Kodesh. Samle Ani Yishmol Rabbi Yossi. I'm Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Everyone knows that I'm a Talmud Chacham, that the Rabbim Tzrichim Li in the base medrash, that I'm an important person here. Shabbasi Lumot Torah Mi Rabbi, and I came to learn Torah to Rabbi, and that's a covet to Rabbi that his Talmud is chashuv enough to be posel Rashi Am Kodesh. That I'm a Talmud of Rabbi, and I'm chashuv enough, and I'm allowed to be posel Rashi Am Kodesh. So I'm allowed to do that because that's a din of covet of a Talmud Chacham that I'm doing. Because I'm a Talmud Chacham, that's allowed to do that in base medrash of your Rabbi. You could be posel Rashi Am. So I'm lay. So Avdan said to Rabbi Shmuel, "V'chi ata hagot Lumot Torah Mi Rabbi? You think you are ra'ui to learn Torah from Rebbe? Rebbe was meforsim in his anivos, and you're being makel in the covet of those people who are sitting in his base medrash that you step all over them." Some later, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said, "What do you mean, am I worthy of learning Torah from Rebbe? V'chi Moshe Yahagalim Torah via Gvura? Was Moshe Rabbeinu worthy of learning Torah from the Ribbono Shalom himself? That he also did things that looked like he was making in the covenant of the Tzibur. He sat and the whole Tzibur stood. Pasuk says V'yishe Moshe L'shpotasam V'yamud Al Moshe Min Abokar Da'erev. So he also did things that was making in the covenant of the Tzibur, and still he was able to learn Torah Mipia Gvura. So don't tell me because I'm being making in the covenant of the other people in the base management that I'm not zoche to learn Torah from Rebbe. So Amalei Avdan said, V'chi Moshe Ata, who do you think you are? You think you're Moshe that Kol Yisrael Tzrichelo? All of Am Yisrael needed Moshe Rabbeinu. You're not Kol Yisrael Tzrichelo. Now the world will live without your Torah. You're not able to learn Torah from Rebbe and be makel in the covenant of other people. So Amalei, from Shalom Rabbi said, V'chi Rabche Lukimu. And I may not be Moshe Rabbeinu, but your Rebbe isn't God either. So in comparison, I'm probably closer to Moshe Rabbeinu than Rebbe is to God. So I'm Rav Yosef. Shakli the Rebbe lemitravse that he heard that he was bevaza, that Abdon was bevaza Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yossi, and he didn't make a macha. So Rebbe took his lemitravse legmula al shoshama v'lomicha that he didn't make a macha over this. Meaning Rebbe took his onesh for this from Rabbi Shmuel for not being mocha for the cover of Rabbi Shmuel. The kamalei rabcha v'lo Rebbe. That Rabbi Shmuel said to Abdan, is your Rebbe God? And he didn't say Rebbe. So you see, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was his Talmud. Sadahachi, while they were fighting, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi and Abdan, Asi Yivam Lekameh to Rebbe. So the reason we're telling this whole story is because while they were having this whole conversation, we're learning Yivamas, Yivama came to Rebbe. So that's what we're telling the whole Maisa. So Yivama came to Rebbe in that context. So Amrle Rebbe La Abdan. So Rebbe said to Abdan, poke Badka, go see if she's a Gedola, because if she's not a gadola, she has no business doing chalitza. So Labasa Dinafak, after Abdon went from the base medrash to see if with the Yavama to be Bodeker. Amalei Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said to Rabbi, Kach Amar Rabbi, you know, my father Rabbi Yossi said, Ish Kasu Beparsha, Aval Isha Ben Gedola Ben Katana, that while the man has to be an adult, the woman could be a Gedola or a Katana, it doesn't matter. So Amalei, Tav Lotzrichas Kvar Harazakin. So Rabbi said to Abdan, it's okay, we don't need your Bedika, we don't need your investigation, we already have a Psak Halacha from Rabbi Yossi that she doesn't have to be a Gedola. So Kamav Sa Abdan Va'as. See, Abdon went to sit in his place in the Beis Medrash because they no longer needed him to investigate. Amalei Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Misha Tzarech La'am Kodesh. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said, I, who the people in the Beis Medrash need me because I'm a Talmud Chacham, and that's the cover of Rabbi that I'm Posei Al Rashi Am Kodesh, Yivsa Al Rashi Am Kodesh. Therefore, I'm allowed to be Posei Al Rashi Am Kodesh. Misha Ein Tzarech La'am Kodesh, but someone who's not a Talmud Chacham, and it's only because of the cover of Rabbi that his Talmud is Posei Al Rashi Am. How could he be Posei Al Rashi Am Kodesh? Meaning now Avdon was the one looking for a seat after everyone else was seated. So now Avdon was the one that was being Posei Al Rashi Am Kodesh. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, ever opportunistic, turned the tables on him and said, I'm someone who was worthy of being Posei Al Rashi Am Kodesh. Who are you? So Rabbi La Avdon, Kum B'Tuchtech. So Rabbi said to Avdon, stay where you are. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi is right. You should not be stepping over other people. So Tana Bosa Shah, so they said that in that moment that Avdon went back to his place and Rebbe stopped him. So Abdon was punished for being mezalzel in Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi and violating on Na'as Tavarim by causing him grief. So Nitzara Abdon, he is considered like Lashon Hara and on Na'as Tavarim. So the punishment is that he becomes a Mitzora. V'tavishnei Banav, and it's another one of the punishments, one of the less famous punishments for violating Lashon Hara is that Misas Askara. Misas Askara is from choking. So his two of his sons drowned, and two of his daughters-in-law did miun on two of his sons. So Amrav Nachum Yitzchak, Brich Rachmana de Kasvei La'abdan Bahai Alma. So Nachum Yitzchak says it's a bracha that he suffered that embarrassment in this world and not in Olam Abba, so that the path will be cleared for him in Olam Abba. Amrav Yamim Dvarv Shel Beribi, from Rabbi Yossi's words, Nilmod Ketanu Choletes Bipu'utos. You can see that a Ketanu could do chalitza when she gets to onas hapu'utos, when she has a little bit of das. Any katana that has a little bit of ability to understand things, whether anytime between the age of 6 and 10. Rava says that Rabbi Yossi holds that she's not called the katana that's pasul chalitza achetagia lo onas nedarim. She's until she gets to the age where she's able to take nedarim, which is 1 year before na'arus. That if she were to take a nedar, you would see that if you would have to investigate, does she know l'shem mi nadra? And if she does, then the neder is kayim. The neder works even at the age of 11. And so if she has shtei saros, Rabbi Yossi would hold that she's already a gedola, she could do chalitza. And we don't say that the saros are not a simon, that they're just a shuma. And the Gemara comes to the conclusion, not like Rava. I mean, not like Rava. She could only do chalitza when she's actually a bas mitzvah, when she's actually 12 years old. Then we say chol to b'shnayim. The Mishnah said that if you do chalitza with two members of a beis din, with two people, not a beis din, the chalitza is possible. But Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yochanan Sandler said that even without a beis din, the chalitza is going to be kosher. So Amar Rav Yosef Bar Menyumi, Amar Rav Nachman, Ein Halacha Chos Hazug. We don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yochanan Sandler that the chalitza is going to be kosher even without a beis din. V'Amar Rav Nachman Chadazim. No, didn't Rav Nachman already tell us this once that you need three people? Amar Rav Yosef Bar Menyumi, Amar Rav Nachman Chalitza B'Shlosha. That chalitza requires three dayanim. So why does he have to say again that ein halacha koso azug? So tzrichi. Rav Nachman needed to say it twice, that chalitza is b'shlosha, and that ein halacha koso azug. Diyat maracha maisa, if he just would have made a statement that chalitza is b'shlosha, hava mina hanimili l'chadchila, I would say, yes, you need three dayanim l'chadchila. Aval diyavet afilu trei, but b'diyavet, if you just have two, that's good enough as well. So kamash malon, ein halacha koso azug. That's why you have to tell me, we don't paskin like koso azug, who said that if you have two people, it's kosher. No, even b'diyavet, it's possible. V'yashmina ein halacha koso azug. And if he only would have said that ein halacha kol sazug that two is kosher, ela katana kama, it would imply that rather the halacha like the tana kama the Mishnah, that it's possible b'diavad when you do chalitza b'shnayim, have min diavad of l'chachilu by chamisha. I would think that b'diavad, it's no good to have shnayim, but so b'diavad you need shlosha, but I would think l'chachilu you need even more than shlosha. I would think l'chachilu you even need chamisha, which if you recall, that was Shitas Rabbi Yehuda back on Daf Kuf Aleph, that you would need chamisha. So tzrichas, that's what Rav Nachman had to say another time. No, chalitza is bishlosha. That is the din l'chachilu, is that it should be bishlosha, and it's also the din b'diavad, that you can't have any less than shlosha. Okay, but from tomorrow, we'll pick up at the two das, Maisa Shecholti. And have a great day. Back to regular schedule tomorrow. Sorry for the change. A lot of people didn't know about Juneteenth, apparently. I saw people coming in the wrong time. Okay. I see people coming in.